Thank you, young people. I have always been a huge advocate for Awana, and my children grew up in Awana, and it changed their life. And I have seen it transform and revolutionize churches. And so I am so grateful and thankful to God for all of you workers. People just sometimes don't realize how labor-intensive Awana can be. One church we did it in, we did it year-round the first year. So let me tell you, that about killed them. I thought we were going to have to discontinue Awana after that. But anyway, thank you, workers. Thank you, church family, for supporting it, encouraging it, being willing to step outside the norm and allow a Sunday like this. Some churches wouldn't do that, but I'm thankful to God that that this church does that. Thank you, parents, for allowing our church to minister to these children and to see them grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is really what matters. I'm humbled by the video. I don't deserve it. Thank you. Thank you for expressing that love for me and Kelly. And it's a joy to be your pastor. And I hope that you always know how much I love you, all of you, for everything. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of my message this morning, and then in 2 weeks I'll give you the full-blown version. So that don't mean you not come in 2 weeks, because you might miss something. Romans chapter 1, we're in verses 16 and 17 this morning, and I think it's important that we look at this, and I think it's amazing how God worked and orchestrated all this out, that our message this morning is on the gospel, and our recognition this morning is on Awana, whose goal is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only God could have orchestrated this, and I don't consider any of the technical things that happened really to be distractions. God had a purpose for it all. Romans chapter 1, I'm just going to read through this very quickly. In honor of God's Word, of course, I will invite you to stand with me. For the Bible says, the Word of God says, the amazing Word of God says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is," look at this, "it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Father, may you add to the reading of your amazing word. Father, in the next few moments, may I decrease that you may increase, and that the power of the gospel be heard and transferred from my heart and my lips into the hearts and the ears of those who hear. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want you to think for just a moment, very quickly. We live in a day and we live in a time in which this world is under attack. We live in a day and a time in which our society is full of all sorts of garbage and perversions that are permeating this society. Just this past week, there was a politician down in Alabama that made the statement in support of late-term abortion that goes something like this: "We either kill them now or kill them later." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a word straight from the pit of hell. But that's the world in which we live. The Apostle Paul said to his servant and his disciple in the gospel, young Timothy, he told him that there was a day coming in which people would not allow, basically, they would not tolerate hearing righteous things, but that society would go to the far extreme and that they would become haters of truth, they would be disobedient to parents, they would go through all these things. He gives a long list of things in which this society is headed towards, and that's where we are today. The world does not want to hear the truth. The world does not want to hear the gospel. But I praise God that we have a church and that we have people that see the importance of getting the gospel into the hearts and the minds of these young people, because they will then grow and take the gospel into the world. That is their task that lies ahead of them. And if we think our task is difficult, just imagine what theirs is going to be in the years to come. We need to be on our knees every day praying for them, because they are going out to face the enemy head on, and they need our prayer support in order to do that. But I want you to think about this as we move very rapidly through this text this morning. Think about this. There was a time in which you were before Christ. In other words, there was a time in which you did not know Jesus. There was a time in which you were not, as we Southern Baptists love to say, you were not saved. And in that time, the Bible calls you, describes you, tells us that you were enemies of God. You were at enmity with Him, the King James says. In other words, you were an enemy of Almighty God. But there came a moment, whether it was in a church service, whether it was in Sunday school, whether it was in your home, and a parent, an aunt, an uncle, someone cared enough about you to set you down and share with you the gospel. And what did it do? It changed your life. It transformed you. It brought you from a child of darkness into a child of light. What was it that did that? It was the power of the gospel. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Look back at the text. He says, I am not ashamed. Why does he say that? Number one, because the gospel is very personal. Look at what he says. For I am not ashamed. I am not. He is saying this is one of Paul's three I am statements in the book of Romans. He says, I am not ashamed. Well, why would he make a statement like that? Well, think about who he's writing to. He's writing to a group of believers in Rome. Rome was the center of the world. Rome was the center of the intellectual world, the political world, the military world, everything. In fact, literally, in that day and time, all roads led to Rome. And that's exactly the world in which he's writing. And so he's saying, look, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how powerful you are militarily. I don't care how political you are. I don't care about how philosophical you are. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Well, why would that be important? Because think about the gospel. It was based upon the fact that they crucified a Jewish carpenter, and he was the center of their religion. Now, to a philosophical mind, to an intellectual mind, that was stupid. That's just what it was. And so there he's writing, he says, look, I'm not ashamed of that fact. In fact, in that day, the biggest drawn crowd to Christianity were the lowest of the low. Why is that? Because everyone was welcome. Everyone. It didn't matter how smart you were. It didn't matter how powerful you were militarily. It didn't matter how you were economically. If you would be willing to trust Jesus, you were welcome in Christianity. And so he says, look, I'm not ashamed of that fact because it's very personal. But look, it goes further than that. The gospel is powerful. Look at what he says. Because it is the power of God for salvation. Well, think about that. He didn't say it contains the power of God. It didn't say it is able to transform you just because of how strong it was or how different it is from everything else you hear. He says it is the power. In other words, what was it that changed you? That's the question of the day. What was it that changed you? It was the power of the gospel. Paul is saying, and it's still true. We just sang the old rugged cross, folks. That never goes out of style. I don't care what generation you are in. It is still the cross. It is still the gospel. It is still the power of God. That's what the gospel is. It is what changes you. Look, there is nothing else that can take a person who is separated from God by sin, that is headed for hell, and redirect him to heaven and bring him into the family of God, except the power of the gospel. It's a powerful expression of who God is. But it's also something else. The wonderful thing about the gospel is not only is it personal and is it powerful, but the beauty of the gospel is that it is pervasive. Look at this. To everyone who believes. Look at that. I love that. It reminds me of John 3:16. At the end of verse 16, it says that whosoever will. Well, that's what this literally says. Anyone, everyone, all who believes. And then he goes so far as to say, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. What does that mean? That means, well, think about it. Jesus was a Jew. He was born into a Jewish family. He was born into Jewish society. In fact, the Bible says that he came into his own and his own received him not. He came to the Jew first. But then it says, and also to the Greek. What does that mean? Is he talking about those that live in Rome? Is he talking about those that are of Greek culture? No. That's anybody that's not Jewish. So ladies and gentlemen, that's you. And that's me. So what he's saying here is that it is pervasive. In other words, it covers everybody. If you will believe, if you will trust Jesus, you will be changed by the power of the gospel. So it is pervasive. It has no boundaries. That's what I love about the gospel. There is no one that it excludes. There is no one that has to think to themselves, I'm just not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not worthy enough. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says you are. Because Jesus says it doesn't matter who you are, you are welcome into the family of God. But look at the last thing that it says very quickly. Now, like I said, you're getting the Reader's Digest version here. It is persistent. Look at this. To everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek, for in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It is persistent in the fact that it will reach to everyone because it is the righteousness of God is revealed. That's what makes it persistent. It is constantly, the idea here, the language is that it is something that is not just, well, here it is, and then it moves on. It is something that says, here it is, revealed. And look at this, from faith to faith. That means that the gospel, the power, the transforming power of the Word of God is revealed from the moment you believe, and then the next day, 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 and I could do it 365 times, and then start all over. Because it's every day from faith to faith. It's not talking about from Buddhism to Hinduism to Islam. No, it's talking about from the moment you believe and then every day thereafter. Why is that? Why is that important? Because Jesus never leaves us. He is always there. Jesus told us in John 15 and 16 that when the Holy Spirit comes, that He's going to teach you all things. He's going to teach you all things righteously. He's going to bring you to salvation. And then He's going to teach you the things that you need to know of God. And how does He do that? Persistently. Every single day. That's why you can read something today and say, okay, I get that. And then you read the same thing tomorrow and say, wow, I didn't see that yesterday. But man, isn't that great? Because that's the way God works. He reveals Himself every day. So from faith to faith means that every moment that you live with Him, as the old song goes, is sweeter and sweeter. Every day. Because He's revealing Himself to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we have witnessed this morning in these kids and as they've led us in worship, and that's just a taste. I mean, that's just a taste of what they do. I mean, I have parents and I have some of the workers come and talk to me at different times. This is true. This isn't something I'm just trying to say to build into the message here. This is true. Talking about, you ought to hear some of these kids as they rattle these verses off. And the beauty part is, they talk about some of the kids that are, you know, seem to be a little shy and they're not real quick to talk. They said, man, you ought to hear them down there when they're reciting them verses like that. Why is that important? Because, ladies and gentlemen, these words are getting ingrained, built into their DNA. And there's going to be a day when mom and dad and sister and brother and aunt and uncle and preacher and deacon aren't going to be there to help them. And they're going to need something to fall back on. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to their mind. That verse they learned when they were 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old in Awana. And you want to talk about investing? Ladies and gentlemen, this is laying our treasure up in heaven right there. And that's what this is all about. So that's why this is such a glorious ministry that's a part of this church. But let's get back to the text and then we're going to be done. The righteous will live by faith. Listen, I want to tell you what I think is so beautiful about that statement that Paul makes right there. The righteous will live by faith. What the gospel does, it is not so concerned about making the sinner feel guilty and ashamed. Now, don't get me wrong, you got to understand you're lost before you can be found. You got to know you're lost before you can be saved. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the gospel is not all about bringing shame and guilt and dysfunction to a heart that is separated from God. That's not what the gospel's purpose is. The gospel's purpose is to bring the righteousness of God to that heart and to show Him. And here's what it does. The gospel, once it comes and transforms a human heart, you know what it does? The way this is written here, this is what it does. It makes it as if that person had never been guilty. Now think about that. So, that murderer
that comes to know Jesus is declared righteous before God. And it's as if he's never been a sinner. Why is that important? Because you don't take your sins to heaven, folks. Your sins were nailed to the cross. When Jesus declares you not guilty, he expunges your record as if it was never there before a holy God. That's why that's important. Now, there may be somebody sitting here this morning that you need that righteousness of God clothed over you. You may need the gospel to transform, to the power of the gospel to transform your life this morning. Well, I want to tell you something. It can happen. It can happen. It's persistent. It will never let you go. It will never leave you. And it will be there at those moments. Let's think about that. Have you ever been sitting in a service somewhere and you hear a sermon and you punch your husband or your wife and you say, "Honey, you've been talking about us to the preacher." Have you ever had those aha moments? Because it's like it's just for you. It's as if nobody else is in the room. It's just for you. Why is that? That's the power of the gospel. And this morning, there may be that heart that this message, you know, as brief and as disjointed as it is, maybe just for you, because God knows you need to hear this morning. So, what's it going to take to change you? The same thing that it's going to take to change this world. The power of the gospel. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, the next few moments, the only thing I want on your mind is what needs to be changed in my life. Now, for some of you, this morning is your moment in which the power of the gospel is going to bring you into the family of God. You know, the Bible says that whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It doesn't even say whoever walks an aisle and shakes the preacher's hand. It doesn't say whoever says this prayer or that prayer. It says whoever believes in Jesus. So this morning, there may be someone sitting in this room right now that needs to say, "Lord, I believe. I believe you went to the cross for me. I believe you rose again for me. And I believe that you will forgive my sin." That's all it takes. And so in just a moment when we stand to sing, if you are wanting, if you're willing to make that bold statement, "Lord, I believe," then I'm going to encourage you to join me at the front and I'll share with you what needs to happen next. For others of you, there's some other things that need to be transformed in your life. Some habits that need to be buried. Some secret sins that need to be just forgiven and gotten rid of. There needs to be some anger that's dealt with. There needs to be some gossip that needs to be dealt with. There needs to be some attitude adjustments. The gospel is able to change that because it is able to change you. You see, the gospel is not just about salvation. The gospel is about day-to-day living. And there are some that need to have that day-to-day dealt with this morning. Father, you know our hearts this morning and you know the things that these people are dealing with. And Lord, I pray that in the next few moments, during this time of commitment, this time in which they decide, "What am I going to do with Jesus?" that Lord, you will lead them to make the decisions they need to make. In Jesus' name. Amen.